Now the boy Samuel was ministering to the Lord under Eli. The word of the Lord was rare in those days. Visions were not widespread. At that time, Eli, whose eyesight had begun to grow dim so that he could not see, was lying down in his room. The lamp of God had not yet gone out, and Samuel was lying down in the temple of the Lord, where the ark of God was. Then the Lord called, "Samuel, Samuel." And he said, "Here I am," and ran to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you called me." But he said, "I did not call. Lie down again." So he went and lay down. The Lord called again, "Samuel." Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you called me." But he said, "I did not call, my son. Lie down again." Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, and the word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. The Lord called Samuel again a third time, and he got up and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you called me." Then Eli perceived that the Lord was calling the boy. Therefore Eli said to Samuel, "Go, lie down, and if he calls you, you shall say, 'Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening.'" So Samuel went and lay down in his place. Now the Lord came and stood there, calling as before, "Samuel, Samuel." And Samuel said, "Speak, for your servant is listening." This is the word of the Lord.
So we're continuing our series on life tools. Again, as mentioned, the life tool of listening, prayer. An older man with a hearing loss purchased a new state-of-the-art hearing aid and boasted about its technological superiority. The friend was impressed and asked, "Well, what kind is it?" The first man replied, "About 230. Well, hopefully it gets better from here. Truthfully, when God speaks, we often don't hear much better. In our reading from 1 Samuel, there's a sharp contrast between those who press in to hear the voice of God and respond and live out that will and those who don't. I invite you to look at verse 1 of our reading. Now the boy Samuel was ministering to the Lord under Eli. The word of the Lord was rare in those days. Visions were not widespread. Earlier in 1 Samuel, we understand that Eli is the firstborn of Elkanah and Hannah. Now Hannah was a very devout woman, to be sure. And for a long time, she was barren. And she was, felt threatened by it as such. But eventually she conceived and bore a son, Samuel, and she dedicated this son to the Lord's service. And we also learn that Samuel was ministering to the Lord under Eli. Now Eli being the high priest and his sons Hophni and Phinehas also were priests in the temple. But unlike Samuel, Hophni and Phinehas are not interested. They're not interested in hearing the voice of God and doing the will of God. In fact, we read these words from 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 12 and following. Now the sons of Eli were scoundrels. They had no regard for the Lord or for the duties of the priests to the people. Now they were taking they were running roughshod over the people's sacrifices, the sacrifice that they had brought to the temple, dedicated to the Lord, offering up for the forgiveness of sins. And they also used their positions of power to take advantage of women who were serving in the temple, take advantage of them sexually. In a word, my friends, this is the reason why the word of the Lord was rare in those days. Visions were not widespread. The leaders were failing the people of Israel. They were not being instructed in the word of the Lord. As a result, we learn that the people of Israel, their hearts had grown dull far from God. And we read, too, about how Eli, his eyesight had grown dim and dull. It's kind of indicative or symbolic of the darkness of the people of Israel, that they had become lost, in a sense, because they were no longer hearing from God. Lost, no longer hearing for themselves, and as a nation, living out their purpose to be a light to the nations, to give glory to God. I'm sure you would agree with me that we live in a time where the word of the Lord is rare, in a sense. By that I mean, we live in a time where widespread swaths of this population in which we live are not hearing the word. Would you agree with me? And not living that out as a response to the love of God, to both hear then and, you know, live out God's commands. Certainly, we live in a time where the word of the Lord is rare. But also, I wonder, given this distracted culture, the busyness, I wonder how well you and I are hearing and doing the word this day. Now, for Eli and his sons, because Eli didn't hold his sons accountable to the abominations, if you will, of their sin in the temple, Eli, his sons were judged. They were put to death, and they were replaced. Now, on a more kind of subtle way, if you will, we experience judgment when we do not hear the voice of God. When we do not obey, we find ourselves little by little overly influenced by this world in which we live, values, culture, etc., by our sinful flesh, and yes, even the evil one who is the enemy of our souls. And we drift, and little by little, we find ourselves making a mess of things, huh? And we find ourselves pretty ineffectual in terms of the kingdom and bearing fruit, living out our purpose personally, living out our purpose as a church of God, to bring light to the nations, to draw people to Jesus. I mentioned we're dealing with the spiritual discipline of listening prayer, coming before God with the intention, as a response, in light of our love for God. God loves it when we press into the very heart of God to know what's on the very heart. That's what a friend of Jesus does. Pressing into the very heart of God and then trusting God to live out. Those who love me, Jesus says, will keep my commandments. To love him, to love our neighbor, to love ourselves. Are we doing this? Or are we drifting? The good news in this text, I like how it's put in verse 3, if I could have that up there. The lamp of God had not yet gone out. The lamp of God had not yet gone out. The lamp of God, the golden lampstand in the Holy of Holies, continued to burn as such, symbolizing the enduring, graceful presence of God with his people, the people of Israel. The lamp had not gone out. God was calling here in our reading today Samuel to be a man of God, calling Samuel to be that person who presses into the heart to hear the voice of God with the intention of speaking that word to the people, to call the people of Israel back to Yahweh, their God. And God was calling Samuel too for the purpose of leading this transition to new spiritual and political leadership. So in verses 4 through 9, we read of this God calling Samuel. And Samuel hears God calling him, but he believes it's Eli. In verse 7, we read, then now Samuel did not yet know the Lord and the word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. He did not yet know the Lord personally. By discerning the very voice of God speaking to him personally. You know, God certainly reveals God himself through creation and the mountains. As you go on summer trips and you see this incredible, you know, creative handiwork of God. God reveals himself through creation. God reveals himself to believers through the Spirit, through the very word of God for sure. But God also speaks personally. God also speaks personally to you and I in unique and various ways. And we discern the very voice of God. And we know that God is speaking to us personally. That's what it means to know the Lord. It says he had not yet heard from God. The word is going to be revealed to him what he's going to speak to the nations. And he will seek to hear that as well. But Eli is young. He's at the beginning of his faith journey. He's described as a boy. We see also in verses 4 through 9 how willing Samuel is to respond. How willing he is to respond to God. Eli does, give Samuel instruction. Go lie down, Eli says, if he calls you. You know, Eli is discerning now that it's God speaking to Samuel. You shall say, speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. We're told that Samuel went and laid down in his place. Even though the word of the Lord was rare in those days, we see God desiring to speak a word to God's people, and in this case, through Samuel. It's interesting how Samuel is instructed to lie down. We read these words in Psalm 16, verse 7. I bless the Lord who gives me counsel. In the night also my heart instructs me. Do you sometimes lie awake at night? The older you get, seems like you sleep less. At least I do. God desires to give us counsel in the night. God is speaking. Are we listening? God speaks to Samuel again as it goes. He follows Eli's instructions. And he says these words. Huh? Do we say these words? Speak, Lord, if I could. Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. The posture of that. Speak, Lord. And we learn God does speak then. Verse 10 following and 11, and we learn that God is going to do something new in the nation of Israel, as mentioned. And we are told that it'll make the ears of the people tingle. And the people, of course, the word is that God's going to judge and do away with Eli and his son's priesthood, replace it with a new one. Extreme judgment, to be sure, given the fact that God promised Eli and that they would be priests forever. But God says, Your sin is too much. There's judgment for not hearing and doing. Increasingly, as mentioned, we become darkened, dull, drifty. The thought occurred to me that each of us, if we were to talk about this in terms of a continuum, are somewhere along the points of the continuum between Hophni and Phinehas, right? Unwilling to really hear and press into the voice of God and do it. And Samuel, who's completely tuned in and responsive. And we see in the parable of the sower the reason why. I mean, we do have an enemy. The word of God is spoken into our lives, but we have an enemy who desires to kind of reach in and twist that word. The world, too, in which we live. We also can harden our hearts. You know, challenges come. We get frustrated with God. So when testing comes, we are told in the parable of the sower, we fall away, hearts are hardened. The word is not deeply rooted. And we also learn, too, another reason is we don't hear the word of God is because the word is choked out by the cares, the riches, and pleasures of life. And I also believe We do not hear the word of God because there's this sense, do I really want to hear the word? Do I really want to live out God's will? Is there a part of us that maybe thinks that God's will is, you know, not the best for us? A little bit of doubt? I was reading the Indeed. I think the Indeed is incredibly insightful, you know, at least from my point of view. Here are the words last Wednesday. God does not want us to consider his will as an option. He wants us to pursue it as an imperative. But he doesn't want us to pursue it with suspicion in our hearts. He'd rather we understand that even when his will is hard, it really will lead to the best possible outcome for us. Do you believe that? Huh? In spite of those other voices, the world is such. To be sure, Samuel was afraid, we read, as you read on in chapter 3, to speak this incredible word of judgment. Huh? And yet we see grace too. Grace, ironically enough, in Eli. You know, Eli says, hey, Samuel, lay it on me. Lay on the unvarnished truth of God's judgment. And he hears this word. And Eli says, let him, God, do what seems good to him. As a result of Samuel's hearing, doing the word of God, the people of Israel are on a new path spiritually, politically, perhaps back on course to live out God's purpose, to be a light to the nations. Others may understand the goodness of God. One young person changes the trajectory of this nation because he hears and does the word of God. We look around ourselves and this world in which we live and we lament, and to be sure, as I mentioned, the word of the Lord is rare in these days, to be sure. But we see it in our own lives, this distraction. Seasons in our own lives where we start to drift and we're not tuned in, with really serious consequences as a result. I've seen it in my own life. Drift little by little. Subtle. But how different it is when we press into the heart of God and seek to hear the voice of God. One small example, someone came to me this past week. I thought they were going to come and share something about some other matter. And they sat down with me and said, you know what? It surprised me a bit, I will say. It was over in the prayer garden, the Canaan desert. And I heard God speak to me. And I felt like God calling me to make some amends. This person had written down the amends that God had called them, called him to make. That's a different thing. We live in an epic time of change, I believe, in terms of the church. Yes, it's certainly about the church as an organization, as such, but it's very importantly about those who make up the church. Disciples of Christ who love God, who press in to the word of God, seek to hear the voice of God and live it out. To be connected, to have a connected life to Jesus as a result of pruning. And relationally then, to be out there in the world, to somehow share life in Christ. Will you be that person who really seeks to hear the voice of God? By the grace of God, live it out. There's grace, as we see the grace here. But it does require discipline, effort, intentionality. It requires discipline, effort, intentionality. These sermon notes are meant to be, you know, to help us in discipline. Intentionality. Look at the intro. Now let's get specific here. Let's get it out of the abstract. Let's get real. Ask the Holy Spirit to quiet your heart and mind and bring to mind one issue or decision you're wrestling with. Can you think of something? Huh? Or somethings? There you are. There you are. To be sure. I have something that continues to press on my mind, and in particular, it's going to come to the fore this week. I get a chance to live out, to hear and live out the word of God. It may be a troubled relationship for you. It may be a job situation. It may be a health issue, a course of action going forward. Again, write it down. I mean, you can kind of start this now. You can just make a quick note, but take this with you. That's why there are inserts. And the first step is determine your heart that if God speaks to you about this issue, you will obey. You will obey. This is about, again, trusting in the goodness of God and the will of God, trusting in the grace of God. If God calls you to something by his grace, you will live it out. There's the Bible verse that we hear often, and I've been sharing often, Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not rely on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make straight your paths. That his will is good and gracious, even though perhaps sometimes you think it's not so. And in light of that, you know, lead not to your understanding. Step 2 and 3, in prayer, reject any lies Satan is attempting to tell you in regarding this issue. 3, dismiss your own thoughts about this issue. You will, if you take time, you press in, you seek to hear the voice of God, you will get a sense in your heart of hearts. You'll get a sense through the word that the next step that God is leading you, kind of hearing, and then the next step forward. But I guarantee you, there will be opposition. You will start to waffle. You will hear something else, perhaps, you know, an alternative pathway going forward. That's why it's important to continue to take time to press in. That's why it's important also to discuss what you sense God might be saying to you with others, because I guarantee you, friends of faith will speak truth to you if they are friends of faith. They will speak, and you'll be amazed how God is using friends of faith to continue to speak truth into your life. And that leads us to 4, ask the Holy Spirit to give you wisdom regarding this issue. It's a continued journey, because there's some waffling that sometimes goes to continue to press in to hear. And I really believe this too is just about, the journey here is about deepening the relationship, where you come to know God by discerning the voice of God speaking to you, and how you then live that out going forward, that deepening relationship. 5 says, wait, be still, and listen. Further confirmation, continuing to come before God before you take action. We all know if we just kind of go off half-cocked, it causes trouble, right? If you take sufficient time coming before God. And I almost have this sense, God, now, as a result of coming before you, God, I believe this is what you're calling me to do. And if not, God, intervene. And then finally, 6, write down what you receive from the Holy Spirit. Again, determine to obey. Not only write it down, but tell another for accountability purposes, or tell some other friends of faith. You really feel called by virtue of what God has been saying to do this. They will give you grace and support. They will be grace for you to live out God's will. As I looked at this text again, you really do see two alternative ways of living faith out. The first way is to be distracted, undisciplined, to live out your life of faith according to your own understanding. Eventually leads to judgment. Ineffectualness for the kingdom, depicted, of course, by Hophni and Phinehas. But Samuel is about trusting in the good and gracious will of God, the discipline of listening prayer, to press in, to hear the voice of God, by the grace of God, responsive to do what God is calling one to do. The first one leads to destruction, ineffectual living. The second way leads to blessing. Believe it. Leads to blessing. And God doing a new thing in our lives and through our lives for this fallen world's sake. Which way will you choose? Please join me in prayer. Well, Lord Jesus, you speak, God. You're a God who speaks. You spoke creation into existence. You said, let there be. You're a God who speaks to us through the Word incarnate, Jesus, the Word made flesh. You're a God who speaks to us through your living Word, through the Spirit. You're a God who seeks to speak to us now through the Spirit. Jesus said that the Spirit will take what's on his heart and the heart of God and impress it upon our heart. And so, Lord, we thank you for grace. We thank you for the grace for Samuel. We thank you for the grace for us this day. So by your grace, God, may we be hearers and doers of your word. In the name of Jesus, amen.